laws of God. It's not because I wanted it, I'm independent, it's not all this kind of jazz. Then, when devotees arrange devotional service, people then, because it is devotional service, then when people take part in that, though they don't know, they still get the benefit of having done devotional service. So they get a transcendental result, though it's unknown, agyata. Right? Then, by doing this enough, serving the Vaishnavas, they come to the platform of faith, then they actually take up knowingly devotional service. Right? So in other words, you have these three stages. You can say fourth if you throw in the guy who doesn't follow anything. Does this make sense? There's totally unaware of God's laws. There's involved in it that's arranged by the devotees but don't know. And then there's involved because you do know. Those are the options. There is an illusion that there's a separate material existence. It's only God's. So Jada Bharat is very, very absorbed in the Lord in this way. So he'll protect him, he'll take care of him. It's up to the Lord what he wants, right? Because as a Paramahamsa here, he has no duties to perform. One can say, no, but you know, he should take care of himself, this, that is the duty towards Krishna. That is if you think you are that body, right? When you identify with the gross and subtle body, it's part of your identity, then it's your job to engage it in the Lord's service. If you don't identify with it, why do you have to engage it? So the Paramahamsa doesn't. But if they want to preach or that, then they'll do. But Jada Bharat is taking the position he's not. So, therefore, nothing to do. So it'll just, as the Lord, you know, as things unfold, then it will go nicely. And we see it works out great. So this surrender is something special. It's something to be sought after. You know, it's the natural position of the living entity to function from. Right? It's not that, you know, it's a goal once we get it. No, that's just the natural position that we function from. Then there's trying to please the Lord through a loving service. Surrender is just, you know, just like, you know, we situate ourselves on the ground. You want to do something, you stand on the ground, right? Not a lot happens when you're laying in bed. Get out of bed, sit on the ground, you know, stand on the ground, then you do things. Does that make sense? So the situation of the devotee in devotional service is surrender. That's just the natural transcendental position. Then they render service out of affection. Like that. Any questions or comments on this? No? It's going to end up a real short class again. Yes.
Maharaj, you're saying that the devotee needs to surrender first and then progress from there. So the surrender seems to be a very high platform. 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Sarvadharma, Kinshajan. What about preliminary things? How we get to that platform? And also, what about Mahaprabhu? He didn't say Sarvadharma, Kinshajan, just said chant.
He did preach Bhagavatam, which is the next step after Gita. So where Gita ends, that's where Bhagavatam starts. Right? Because Chaito Darpana Marjana means you have to be open to the process. Right? You know, then he's saying that I don't have taste for the name. That means he would like to have. You know what I'm saying? See, is that you have the element of full surrender, but surrender's in stages according to your ability, according to how much you can surrender, right? So the point is that there's faith, so it starts with faith. If that faith is there, then there's a natural element of surrender, because with faith, then you take up the association of the devotees. Right? Then you, in that, surrender the spiritual master and then seriously follow the devotional process. Right? So it's going through stages. Because that full surrender will only come, we can see, at prema. What you're talking about. But the point is it has to be applied now. Does that make sense? So you just follow the process as given by the spiritual master. It works. Is that okay?
What's the difference between surrender now in our neophyte platform and surrender at prema?
It's the same thing. It's just a matter of how consistent it is, right? The neophyte has his moments where he's very surrendered, very committed in those, and those are the moments of pure devotion. The problem is because it's mixed devotional service at the next moment, then we may be doing something that's not in surrender. Well, prema means it's consistent at a particular standard that is compatible with a interacting relationship with the Supreme Lord. Does that make sense? Yeah. That's it. There's no... The process is the same throughout, because the thing that's working throughout is prema in the form of rati. Rati means attraction or attachment to the Lord. So that's the first stage of prema. But we consider it bloomed at prema, right? It's a bud at rati, right? So that potency of rati, that's what goes all the way down to shraddha. The whole process works because of that. It's not that it's something else. We tend to compartmentalize. But all it is just a matter of the development, right? Like you have a seed. It's a tree. It's just a tree in seed form. Then you plant it, then it sprouts, and then it gets some leaves, and then it goes into a sapling, and then like this, it just keeps going. But it's still the same thing. It's not different. So that attraction to Krishna, that's what's happening from the beginning. We're in the material world. We're not satisfied with the material phenomena, the experience gained. So we're looking for something else. We come in contact with the devotees. We hear about the Lord. We start to develop that faith that, yes, here is, and so we're attracted. So it just keeps developing until that attraction reaches maturity at prema. So there's only one process, but the different stages of the development of that process, we have names for and different symptoms in that. But it's not a different process. Right? The compartmentalization comes because of our, how you say, the exposure to the bourgeois culture of corporate, you know, capitalism. That's where your little boxes and everything comes from. But in reality, nothing works in little boxes. I mean, nothing. It's always transforming and changing from moment to next. So you can take major symptoms, and that's where you categorize the process that goes. But because it's been over-intellectualized, it goes into a little box. And then we think it's complete in itself, you know, which is part of, you know, the material world's a little box. And then we think it's complete in itself. So it goes along with our conditioning. But in reality, everything is always moving and transforming. So it's just a matter of the stages. You know, you have the baby, and then you have the toddler, and then you have the child, and you have the adolescent, then you have the adult, and then you have the old person, then you have the dead person, right? So it just goes through the stage naturally. But because there's major symptoms you can catch, but from moment to moment, it's just moving. You understand? So when asked in studying the devotional process, you have to understand it's the same thing working throughout. But in its development, then you come to certain levels, and then you can say, oh, it's at this stage. But it's not that the stage is an independent thing. You know? And so therefore, you're dealing with nine different processes in Shraddha to Prema. No, it's one process, nine stages. But those stages are overlapping, so it's just the major elements. It's not that there's not still some anartas and nishtas, there's not some taste already in Shraddha. You know what I'm saying? It's just the matter of the volume. Does that make sense? That's all. When the volume reaches a predominance, then you call it by that category. But it still has elements from previous, and it has elements from the next. Is that okay?
So there's elements of prema in the original Shraddha?
No, there's elements of rati. Get that clear. Rati is there, not prema. You know what I'm saying? It sounds good and emotional to say prema, but prema means it's actually love. Rati means it's attraction. It hasn't turned into love. Right? Because a bud means that it's got all the potential, but it hasn't become a bloomed flower. So attraction is what is the main aspect of bhava. In a sense, so that potency is what makes it work. Does that make sense?
resurrection, what is Rati becoming?
When you're fully absorbed in samadhi, then from that, then you can get the constant association of the Lord in the association of the Lord's eternal associates. Seeing how they love Krishna and serving in that way, then that turns into prema. You understand? But until you're fully absorbed intensely in samadhi on Krishna, then you don't take it that's not serious. You're absorbed in the Lord to the degree that you can reciprocate with the Lord. Then that reciprocation will be in one of these forms. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that first thing is that mood. But that mood of the, for us, then the Brajbasis, is that full absorption in the Lord in unalloyed devotional service. That's the first mood. That's what's necessary. Then there's the specifics of what is your particular rasa. Most like to start it with your rasa first, and then we'll develop. No, that's how the sahajas go about it. For us is first develop the mood of surrender, then we'll talk. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah.
So then when we hit rati, it's like the water has to boil at a certain temperature before it boils. So we have to be in a certain degree of samadhi, a complete samadhi, before it moves from rati to prema.
Yes, because there's five stages in rati. So what I mentioned there of that full absorption samadhi, that's the perfection of the third stage. Then the fourth stage, you actually get that direct association with the associates in relationship to Krishna. Before that, you can associate with them, but you're not interacting with Krishna. Does that make sense?
It's the association of the Lord's parishad.
Yes, that's the only way you're going to develop the mood of them.
Where does that happen, Maharaj?
Where does that happen? Means you want to know like a latitude, you want to Google it or something, you know? Google Maps, we want to know the longitude and latitude here. It's in Gokul, that's what Gokul is for. Gokul is so that you can develop through the stages of bhava to prema. Once you come to prema, then that's Goloka. But if you're not on prema, you're not in Goloka. That solves that problem.
I'm not sure I understand, Maharaj. This prema is in Goloka, and where is the second stage of rati where we can associate with the Lord's associates?
That's the fourth stage. I mean, second, third, like that. That's all in Gokul, right? Either you're there physically or you're there mentally, right? If you advance to the stage of bhava while within this body, then you do it mentally. You know, then you're in your surup there in the spiritual world. The spiritual world here means Gokul. If you've left this body and you appear there, then you're physically there. That's why that's Raghunath Das Goswami's Manasikshi offers his obeisances to the Brajabasis. And he says, those who are physically there are those who are there by meditation. He means both of those. In other words, he's offering his obeisances to the Uttamadhikaris. Does that make sense? So you develop the mood. That's the first stage, Shravana Dasa. Then you adjust with that, applying that. That's Varana Dasa. So it means what your specifics within the Lord's pastimes. Right? Then Smarana Dasa. Then you have to bring it through the five stages of meditation from, you know, Smriti, Anasmriti, Smriti, like this, up to Samadhi, where you're fully absorbed in the Lord. That brings about what's called Purva Rag. Means complete attachment. When that complete attachment's there, then now you have the proper mentality, though you don't have the qualifications in emotion. Now you can associate with the Lord's associates in the pastimes. You understand? In other words, the Lord is doing his pastimes, let's say, with the gopis. Okay? Others are not with the Lord. Does that make sense? The cowherd boys are out in the field, or they're at home asleep. They're not with Krishna, though they're absorbed in thinking of Krishna because they're eternal associates. But you can be there just like the yogic Brahmins. They're in the spiritual world, but they're not associating or thinking about Krishna. You understand? They're worshiping Vishnu, but they don't understand Vishnu's here in the form of Krishna. Right? It's by your consciousness that where you're situated. So that's why it's not latitude and longitude. Right? Then from that it turns into apandas, means now you're involved in the pastimes, just like the gopis who went to the rasa dance. But it wasn't in its perfectional stage. Krishna left the rasa dance because they weren't actually qualified. Right? Means they were absorbed in Krishna, but they weren't accepting the totality of Krishna and Radha and, you know, the whole Braja Leela. They thought it was about them and Krishna. No, it's about Radha and Krishna and then them. So once they adjusted with that, then the rasa dance happens. So that, from that stage, then that naturally develops into prema. That's sampatti das. Now you inherit your position, and then as prema, then you remain there. Does that make sense? Yeah. It's not sentimental. It's a science. But it's based on your sentiment of affection or attraction to Krishna. But it has to be real. It's not because you just say, I feel like it. That's called, you know, the 70s. You know, like that. You know what I'm saying? It's similar to the 60s, just drop off the cigarettes. Right, you know. Okay. Is that okay? Okay, next. Oh, you had something? Or no, okay.
What are the elements of emotion and Purvarag that are developing as we move towards prema? What are the elements of emotion and Purvarag as we develop?
As like a three-year-old asking something about, you know, what are the details on conceiving the child, you know? It's like, stick to your position. Because the element, in other words, if you didn't understand it from what was said, you won't understand it anyway. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, Yadav Prabhu?
From some of your... Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
From some of your comments, this age-old question of how much independence do we have comes up.
How much independence we have?
Yes.
Our independence is desire. And then the arrangement is made by others. But the point is no one worries about it. Just like, how much independence do you have in digestion? You know what I'm saying? But no one worries about it. It doesn't get in the way of rasa. That's the nice thing, is that, because the point is the relationship and the interaction. So the technicalities like that are only brought out to break down our... you know, that full kind of faith and attachment to the material arrangement. Because when it's just like you have something very nice, let's say you have, you know, some item, and you like it. But if we take it completely apart, you know, like say there's a bottle of perfume. So we take the bottle, you know, and then we take the top, we take off the little thing, the stems, take it completely apart, and then what's inside, separate it into its water and this oil and this chemical and that chemical, and lay it all out there on the table, put names on it, label it very nicely. It doesn't have any attraction like that anymore, though it's the same thing. So that's the idea of the analyzation of the Shankya is used to break down the attachment or the enamorment by the material. But the whole point is this is all about rasa in the spiritual world. So we have to give up the taste for rasa here to appreciate it. So therefore we bring out those aspects and break down. But the independence, being small, we have to work under the internal or external potency. And even if you are big and are you know, part of the internal potency, still you're working under whatever aspect of that potency is higher than you. And then Radharani, who's the topmost, the Swarup Shakti, she's still working under Krishna. And then Krishna, who is the top, he's working under the love of his devotees. So there's always the working under somebody aspect like that. So the independence is that you want to be involved like that. And then, therefore, then these more powerful energies, then they carry it out. Does that make sense? That's here. In the spiritual world, you have a body that actually works. You know, it is you, but here it's not. So here it's pretty limited.
said in the Gita that whoever remembers Krishna at the time of death, go back to Godhead.
Yes.
And if we see, person who is not at the stage of prema, a lower stages, bhava or even neophyte stage, and by chance or by, you know, if they remember Krishna, do they achieve the same platform even without going to the stage of prema, going back to Godhead?
What do you mean by back to Godhead? What's your definition of back to Godhead? Because this is actually the biggest problem in the society in understanding these points, is that definition of what back to Godhead means.
My understanding is back to Godhead is to the spiritual world where...
Yes, spiritual world. But how do you define the spiritual world? You're sitting in the spiritual world now, but that's probably not in any way, shape, or form part of your definition. Gokul is also directly the spiritual world, but most likely, unless we bring it up, you're not going to think of that either. So therefore, your definition is right there in the center of Goloka. It's you and Krishna. And so that's going to have a philosophical problem on every level of discussion. You know what I'm saying? Back to Godhead means you're with Godhead. So when Krishna comes and performs his pastimes in Gokul, that's directly the spiritual world that's descended here, right? But because it is arranged by the internal potency, but the specific aspect of the Tathasta Shakti, of the internal potency, the Sarup Shakti, is the ability to hold together the external and the internal at the same place at the same time. So therefore, in Gokul, you can have the Nitya Siddhas, or the eternal associates, who are, you know, residents also in Goloka. Or you have those who have come there to elevate themselves to prema. Then you have those who don't seem to be overly interested, they're just neutral. And then you have the demons. So everybody's there, it's one big party. All right? That's back to Godhead. You understand? By the definition you were giving. So it means you go through Gokul. Gokul is where you develop love for Krishna, but it is the spiritual world. So back to Godhead means Gokul. You understand? When you perfect that, then you go to Golok. But there's no difference. See, it's we make the difference. Why these things are difficult to understand is because we use time and space as our reference point. But there is no time and space in the spiritual world. So for the residents of Goloka, there's no difference between Goloka and Gokul. You know what I'm saying? Just like, you know, does that make sense? You know, for the mother, all the different parts of the house are the same. It's all the house. But for the kids, you know, there's the living room, you know, where the adults hang out. And then there's, you know, your bedroom or the basement or the attic. That's our place. But for the adults of the house, it's all one house. They don't make a distinction. We make the distinction. So we say, no, back to Godhead means Goloka. But it doesn't mean Goloka. It means Gokul. Now, if you in this body have come to the platform of bhava and in meditation, in serving in the pastimes, come to prema while still in this body, then when you leave this body, then you go directly to Goloka. Prabhupada mentions that, but he says it's very rare. Right? So therefore, the standard is, you leave this body, you go to Gokul. You remember Krishna, you go there. It doesn't matter. Even if a neophyte remembers Krishna at the time of death, he'll go to Gokul. But the difficulty is that he'll only have that neophyte development in his spiritual life. Therefore, the chance is he'll get distracted by the spiritual facilities. The facilities here are material, they're temporary, they're mundane, they don't work so great. The spiritual ones work fabulous, so you can get easily distracted by them. That's why when Krishna blew the flute on that first night of the rasa dance, a lot of the gopis didn't go, because they were busy in the household affairs and this and that and all that kind of jazz. So then only when then it struck them, they got attracted by the flute, then they wanted to go, but their absorption was not in Krishna all the time. It only was then they were stopped. Those who were closer, then that little bit of difficulty burnt off whatever last tinges of material consciousness were there. They went to the rasa dance, right? Others got stopped and locked up in their house. They didn't go. But by meditation on Krishna, then they attained what we mentioned before, that samadhi, that purva rag. Then at the next rasa dance, then they could go. So that's why it'll work out, but it's just, you know, it'll take longer. You know, because you're not conditioned there, so therefore things move at a quicker pace. But it's not that I'm absorbed, I'm prakriti bhakta here, and I'm absorbed in the externals. It's not that you won't be absorbed in the externals there. Just you don't have any conditioning to support that. You understand? You are who goes back to Godhead, not someone else. It's not a magic, I get hit by a lightning bolt and then there I am, the prema bhakta rolling on the ground and all that. No, it's like you have to develop that. It's you, you're a person. But when we think, oh, it'll just happen, that's impersonal. How will it just happen? Who will it just happen to? Who are you? Who's making it happen? You understand? So the whole thing is that's why the science is given, so that we know exactly what's going on. Otherwise, we'll just sentimentally, you know, that means all this difficulty with the things of the position of the jiva and how they get here, how they go back. That's all because of this one definition of what the spiritual world is. Right? And so then you get the duality of, well, there's only Goloka or there's only Brahman. That's stupid. That's just downright stupid. And remember, stupidity is not dependent upon your IQ or how much intelligence you have. Stupidity is what you do with it. You understand? Very important to note. Right? Great scholars can be stupid. So therefore, it's not Goloka or Brahman, it's Gokul. Gokul is where Goloka is there and the material world is there at the same time. So then you choose. You look at it as, here's an opportunity, whatever facilities are here is for serving Krishna. Then you make contact with the Nitya Siddhas. And you move progressively forward into prema. You just think, wow, this is great facility. You come to the material world. That's tatasta. That's who we are. Does that make sense? Okay, I don't know where the mic. Oh, here it is.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I have a question with respect to respect. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
An aspect of respect, or in respect to respect.
With respect to respect.
Respect to respect, but not an aspect of respect.
Yeah. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told that. We have to give respect to everybody. And
we have to give respect to everybody.
Like Trinadapi Sunichena.
And you have a problem with that. Why does Lord Chaitanya, who's most merciful, make me have a respect to everybody? Why couldn't he have been kind and just say that it's, you know, it's just about me and I'm the center of the world attention and therefore I can do my devotional service however I feel like and therefore everybody else should adjust. Right? Isn't that the modern philosophy?
No, I didn't finish my question.
Oh, okay. Finish your question. So in other words, start with your question instead of all the background. You know, Lord Chaitanya, this, that. Just say, okay, if it's on respect, this is the question. One sentence. Then if you need, then give background. But when you start with background, we don't know where you're going with it. Entertaining, maybe, but, you know.
So in the material world, like, you know, like in India, in the family culture, the villages, people give respect to a person because he belongs to a particular, like he's a son of that person or he belongs to that family. They give respect like that.
Yes.
So in the spiritual communities also, can one have a psychology of giving respect to spiritual master? Because the disciple may be not good, he may be super bad. But Can one give respect to the spiritual master and then that way the respect is flown to the disciple, you know, can one have that mental adjustment? Is that a good, theoretically speaking, is that a good psychology?
I'm not quite exactly sure what the question is.
The question is, when we are giving respect to a person, how we, why we want to give a respect, why we want to give respect to a person, that question.
Why would we want to give respect to a person?
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's one of
the main points of modern society is why would we want to give respect to anybody?
So then the next question is.
No, well, we deal with your first question. You know, that's hard enough to understand.
Because question has multiple questions, then answer would be.
So this is the problem. Unless you know what your question is, how am I supposed to know what your question is? You know, because somehow or another we got lost with the super bad disciple, and he's offering respect to the spiritual master, and is that okay? And, you know, so unless you're, you know, pure, you can't offer respect. But respect means, what are you dealing with? Where does respect come from? It comes from Krishna, right? It's a quality of Krishna. All superior qualities are coming from Krishna, right? Negative means lack of that superior quality. Disrespect does not stand on its own. It means lacking respect. You understand? Dirty means it's not clean, right? So there's only the superior qualities, then the lack of them. You understand? So everything goes back to Krishna. So respect means Krishna. Krishna is, what are we respecting? We're respecting opulence, right? We're respecting power, beauty, wealth, you know, age, sacrifice, knowledge, right? This is what we're respecting. So these are all potencies of Krishna. So that's what we're doing. We're seeing those potencies in. You don't like this. This is not according to your question.
Is it?
Okay. So therefore what we're doing is, since we should be respecting everything in the creation because it's all belonging to Krishna or it's his potency, at least, because our vision tends to be narrow, at least a certain few areas of Krishna's potency we should respect. So therefore, age or family relations, knowledge, influence, wealth, fame, beauty, all these things, then we have to respect them. So that's why there's rules that you were saying about in the, you know, Indian tradition and the families and communities. It's because there's something there to respect. Right, grandparents, it's age, you know, there's relation, you know what I'm saying? There's all these different elements that are there. So all those combined is what you have to work with. Now, eventually, as we say, like Jarabhard, he's respectful to everybody and everything. So that's what the platform you're trying to get to. But you start with something, just like the quantum physicist uses all kinds of numbers. And I mean, the numbers in so many amazing ways. But the, you know, the nursery school kid, just first, you know, you get one, you know, then you get two, right? They start there. Does that make sense? Right, so you have to start somewhere. So it's obvious the person's older than me, I should respect. You know, you're the business person, he has more money than me, I should respect. And the political feeling, he's more powerful than me, I should respect. Right, or he's more intelligent or knowledgeable than me, I should respect. So we start with gross, observable phenomena that you will apply respect. Otherwise, according to us, we don't respect anybody because we're God. Right? And everybody else should be respecting us. So we have to start the process. So we start with what's obvious. But unfortunately, in modern culture, these things aren't very obvious anymore. They were. Before, everybody followed them. But nowadays, not so much. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. This is hard. Back in there. There's no difference. It's just where they're situated. One's higher, one's lower. That's what it mentions in the Brahma Samhita. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in his purport is talking about this. He just says that the only difference is situation. But according to the Goloka Vasis, they don't see any difference. We make the difference. They don't see any difference. Does that make sense? Yes. Yeah, but that's where it's situated, but that's not what it is. You know what I'm saying? If you take Goloka and situate it here, it's called Gokula. So the same pastimes, same interactions are all going on. But because of being situated here by the influence of the Tathasta Shakti, therefore the material elements can also be involved as we, if we see them. If we don't see them, then that's not me. Radharani doesn't see the external. But the yogic Brahmins, they saw the external. Right? So the yogic Brahmins, who are, you know, basically at best neophytes, you know, and their wives, who are, you know, paramahamsas, they're in the same place, same time, same Krishna standing in their yard, same paraphernalia. Right? So that's the whole point. That's why these stories are told. They're not just, I mean, of course, they're attractive, they pass the time like this, but the point is that you're supposed to understand is that therefore I should be absorbed in Krishna. It's not that I'll just sit around and be absorbed in my household affairs and then, you know, just bingo, one day I'll be God conscious. It means the yogic Brahmins talking to Krishna directly then are not Krishna conscious. Afterwards they understood. So that means there is some devotional element there, but it wasn't very developed. You know what I'm saying? That's Gokul. In Goloka, you don't have that. Okay. Yes. No, I'm saying if you go there, generally once, if you go to Gokula and be absorbed in the facilities, it may fall. Generally, Krishna mentions once going, you won't come back. But the point is because you're accustomed to simply looking at externals, therefore you'll continue to do that. But because it is there, because you are a practicing devotee, there will be that interest in Krishna, right? So therefore one will progress, but at a slower rate than those who aren't attracted by the externals. What is this platform? What's the difference? You know what I'm saying? Gokul's here. You see, what's the difference? You're here as a devotee within the one quarter of the manifestation, right? There's three quarters of the what we call the spiritual world, one quarter of the material world, right? The problem comes is that we too distance the material world as Krishna's energy. But Krishna is Krishna's energy. It works according to what it's him, so it's Brahman. Inferior Brahman, unconscious Brahman, but Brahman, right? So now you're sitting here and serving Krishna, but at the same time there may be mixed elements of devotional service you're attracted by the external energy, right? So, but the arrangements being made on how you get things done are being done by the three modes of nature, okay? But you're doing devotional service. But the arrangements are made by the three modes. Because you're working within that external energy. But you're applying it spiritually. Does that make sense? So if we're so confused about that, why aren't we confused about this? Right? It means we're not confused that I'm engaging external energy in Lord's service and it's acting as spiritual energy. I'm getting spiritual result. We don't have a problem with that. Iron and fire, it works as fire. Okay, so but the point is now it's just the other way. In Gokula, that means it's being arranged by the internal potency. So instead of the three modes of nature, you're dealing with Samvisandini Hladini. But the consciousness is whatever it is. You know what I'm saying? The consciousness remains. So in Gokul, then your consciousness will be whatever you left it here. Whatever level of advancement you got here is what you're going to go cool with. But now you won't have the conditioning. You just, because we have to understand the Brahman state is a neutral state, right? The concept of the Mayavadi Brahman, it doesn't exist. It's an illusion. Just like I'll be happy in the material world is an illusion. Brahman means the situation where I'm not absorbed materially, but I'm not absorbed spiritually either in affection. You know, in other words, I don't have material affection, but I don't have spiritual affection either. but I'm situated on the transcendental platform. That's Brahman. Right? That's a state of existence. But you have a body, everything else is chinmoy, it's all there. Now the point is you're supposed to bring the consciousness to prema. And you're going to get that by associating with those who have prema. That's why in the process the association of the devotees favorably in devotional service is the most important element of the whole process. Right? We like to make it sound like it's management or money or morality or, you know, all kinds of a long list of so-called important stuff. But it's association of devotees in Krishna consciousness. So at the neophyte stage or at the uttama stage, it doesn't matter. That's what's going to move you forward. Does that make sense? So therefore, if you're situated here in this body, then the external energy arranges the things, but the effect you're getting, it's being arranged by yoga maya, but through the external energy. And then Gokula means it's yoga maya arranged through internal energy. Right? Yoga maya, it's the same energy, it's just a matter of which side you see. You see it connected to Krishna, you're dealing with yoga maya. You don't see it connected to Krishna, you're dealing with mahamaya. Does that make sense? Okay. How are we doing? No, time's up. Like that, so we'll stop here. Shall I? Oh, it's already 8:45. Shall I? Gruntaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki, Jayanitai Gaur Premanandi.